Just a few days ago, I was given a remarkable gift, actually, by a parishioner named Wayne, who he loves biblical archaeology. It's something he knows that I find interesting as well. And so he gave me this and kept kind of sealed in this container. It's a coin. It's a coin that was pressed somewhere between 103 and 76 BC. And it's the kind of coin that would have been put into the temple treasury by that widow, the widow's mite. And it's amazing to have one of those coins now as a gift. And it's just phenomenal to think about, you know, where this coin has been. And so I show it to you. It's pretty small, hard to see from there. But I bring it up because in thinking about this coin, about that time of history, that there is a time of Jesus. The remarkable reality, the Christmas wonder, that God has actually entered into the world, into our existence, and into the flow of our history, daringly stepping into a point in history to, from there, change everything. I think this is a stunning reality that maybe we don't often fathom very deeply, this reality of God, the eternal living God, has come into the world in such a finite and particular way, which is something that's exhilarating, but I think also for others, like, really? You know, is that possible? You know, as St. Paul would write to the Corinthians about Christ crucified, I think the same could be said about Christ, the God incarnate, that this reality is a stumbling block to Jews and a foolishness to Gentiles. How is this even possible? Getting in touch with, you know, really the incredible reality of that. How is that possible? Who would do such a thing? Well, love would do such a thing. Love, eternal and divine, would do such a thing. Joseph Ratzinger, who had become Pope Benedict, would speak about God's daring, the great daring of God, that God, the Logos, you know, the Word of the Father, the Son. You know, this idea of logos is not just simply he's just some kind of word, but through Jesus all things are made, and for him all things are made, and through him all things are sustained. And the logos is encompasses all of reality and all that makes sense, and the all of creation, and through the incredible span of what that is of our universe to the drama of our human heart, all of these things come through the logos. You know, and how daring that this one who is infinite and eternal would then unite himself to our so limited and particular flesh, uniting the infinite and eternal with the limited and historical, but daring in that to be able to do that, to be able to come to change everything for us. Because as we know, a child is born to us, a son is given us. And so Jesus comes not just simply as a metaphysical wonder, but as a gift, indeed as our salvation. And through Jesus, God gives all of himself to us. And so our preface that I chant at the beginning of our Eucharistic prayer kind of helps us see that reality of, for in the mystery of the Word made flesh, a new light of your glory has shone upon the eyes of our mind. This new communication of God's glory in the Word made flesh, so that as we recognize in him God made visible, we may be caught up through him in love of things invisible, of things transcendent, simply that are beyond our nature, and we're called in love into these greater realities. And so this coin, I think, points to that just that wonder of how God so daringly enters in his love into our existence. But I think the coin also that can speak about, you know, a coin is used as a medium of exchange that happens, you know, obtaining some good, maybe something new. And so in the birth of Jesus, I think it also speaks about this, the gift of new life, and that God wants to do something new. And indeed, he accomplishes that through Jesus. You know, the birth of Jesus inaugurated a new age, a redemption that is still unfolding. You know, despite all the challenges of free will, all the vagaries of history and the twists and turns, the human drama, the powers of darkness that so so try to keep us bound into sin and death. Throughout all of that, God's redemptive plan is unfolding, and all that comes through and is energized and moved by the death and the resurrection of this little one, of Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus would say about that, that my Father is working still, and I am working as well. What is God working to do? Maybe what is that, thinking of this idea of the birth of Jesus, this new thing? Well, the gift that God wants to give us is really to make us like himself through Jesus Christ. You know, and our opening prayer picks up actually a prayer that the deacon typically would say about preparing the chalice with the wine and the water, putting that drop of water in that and praying, asking that we become partakers of that divine nature from him who humbled himself to share in our humanity. And so there's this incredible exchange that God wants to do. And so he gives us this gift of Jesus. And through that, the gift of divine life, of a transformed life. And that's something that, of course, starts in our baptism, that baptismal regeneration we heard about in our second reading. But again and again, God wants to give us something new. And in becoming more like Jesus, having more of that divine nature really working through us, that's where real peace is found. Jesus was born into a world of emperors and governors with counting their money and moving their soldiers around and the clash of different societies. And not much has really changed. You know, if we're looking for like that to all get our peace, you know, we do that in vain. True peace comes from Jesus Christ, my relationship with him and being transformed into him. So what does God want to bring to life, the new birth of Jesus Christ, you know, in you? What special part of Christ-likeness does the Lord yearn to open up in your life? And so I encourage you to be open to the new things of God, this birth of life that continues always. As St. Augustine describes God himself, O beauty, ever ancient, also ever new. Our eternal and living God calls us into that transformation. And we're the ones who can be kind of like the fossilized ones, you know, not willing to move into the daring love of God. And then a final kind of point with this coin. Jesus delights in the widow's mite. He delights in that coin, a small coin. You know, a small coin, but of incalculable worth because of the faith and the hope and the love that was there in the giving of it to the Lord by that widow. Incredible things can happen through little things. You know, and God loves little things, so he became little himself. And I think this points to, in Jesus coming to the world as this little newborn babe, it really points to how God acts in littleness, with delicacy, with care, with humility, you know, with a patience, you know. And you look at the shepherds; they're guided to go see Jesus. You know, these lowly ones, you know, they're the first ones summoned to the Christ child. And then, what is the sign they are to see? It's simply an infant in a manger. Again, such littleness is the decisive reality. And so knowing how God loves the little and is delicate and careful with us, you know, I can then really have that close union with Jesus as well and be open to that in my daily life and all the daily affairs of my life, indeed all of my life as it's embraced by Jesus. There's room in Christ, God incarnate, for all my fears, my hopes, my joys, my sorrows, my ponderings, the melodies and rhythms of my life, even as he's calling me into that deep conversion to be with him. And what a relief that is, that in a way God so much loves and reverences, you know, my incarnate reality as well, even as he's working to save and redeem me. And then sharing our own hearts with the Lord, I think the Lord then gives us a deeper glimpse into his heart and how his heart actually moves us and moves the world. Just as Mary pondered with her heart, we're called to that as well. And so in that engagement with our humanity, I love these words of Pope St. John Paul II from World Youth Day in the year 2000. And so I leave you with these. It is Jesus, in fact, that you seek when you dream of happiness. He is waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are so attracted. It is he who provokes you with that thirst for fullness that will not settle for compromise. It is he who urges you to shed the masks of a false life. It is he who reads in your hearts your most genuine choices, the choices that others try to stifle. It is Jesus who stirs in you the desire to do something great with your lives, the will to follow an ideal, the refusal to allow yourselves to be grounded down by mediocrity, the courage to commit yourselves humbly and patiently to improving yourselves and society, making the world more human, more fraternal, who in the depths of your hearts never weary of loving Christ and believing in him. And so may our Lord, who so incredibly, our infinite and eternal God, has come into history, come into our reality, comes into our lives as well, and does that with a newness, always wanting to bring to birth a newness of grace in our lives, and he does that with so care. May the joy of that be with you on this Christmas day. May that be a joy that sustains us, for indeed the Lord is with us.